Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 127 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. In this episode, I talked to Brian Bracewell from Southside Market and Barbecue in Elgin, Texas. We've been trying to get this together for a long time, and I'm really excited we got a chance to sit down. Super interesting. I love talking about and talking to the new barbecue joints and what's like and how exciting it is for them and the progression, and they're doing a lot of amazing things. But Southside Market has been around for 137 years, since 1882. I think most restaurants would be excited if they're around for 37 years. It's phenomenal. It's amazing that there's no one listening to this or alive today on the planet was alive when it first opened, which is just hard to wrap my head around. It's interesting to hear the progression and how his grandfather was a door-to-door meat salesman, which sounds absurd to thinking about it, and how they got their first location and then moved to the second location. So we get all into the history and how the product has changed. For 125 years, they only had one sausage, and then now they have 8 different sausages and dry sausage and summer sausage and tons of stuff. We get into all their food, everything that they're making, what you could expect when you visit, and what his background is, and talk all about his upbringing, and then we get into their second location. They have a second location at Bastrop. So there's a lot of information we talk about, and it's very interesting. He has a lot of knowledge, and I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. And I'm happy to have the Smoke Sheet on board as a sponsor for this podcast. And it sounds like a lot of you guys out there, too, have enjoyed it. I've gotten a lot of feedback saying that they've signed up and they enjoy it. It's a very cool newsletter. You might not think that you need a newsletter until you sign up for the Smoke Sheet, and then you read it and realize that Ryan and Sean have put together something really, really cool. It's not just a list of links or random stuff. They've curated it just for us, people that are into barbecue. It was started by Ryan Cooper, who is at Barbecue Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is at NYC Barbecue. The two of them have traveled across the country going to barbecue joints, and they're into barbecue news, and just like a lot of us, they're crazy about barbecue. So that there's barbecue information, there's barbecue news, there's specific stories that they write about from events that they've gone to and different barbecue joints that they've gone to. There's openings, there's closings, there's when people are moving to different barbecue joints. A lot of guys, pitmasters, move from place to place. So they follow them, put it in the newsletter. There's a link to barbecue podcasts, barbecue YouTube stuff, a recipe of the week. It's definitely chock full of information, and I do go through it every week. I know I say that on every episode that I do, but I do. I really do. It's a really good resource. It's available at bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com, the Smoke Sheet, barbecue news worth consuming. And as always, if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you won't miss out on any of them. Also, please do comment below. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know what you think about the episode. If there's something cool about it, something you want to share, or somebody you want me to contact. You can also contact me on my website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But I also have links to all my podcasts, all my YouTube stuff, all my barbecue joint visits and butcher shop visits and lots of cool other stuff. Thank you for the feedback, because I'm digging this. I'm really enjoying talking to all these people and getting to know them and learn their stories. And I'm hoping you guys are too. So thanks so much for listening. I do appreciate it. And enjoy this. Good afternoon.
Howdy.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing really well. Doing good. We've been trying to do this for, it seems like, a year and a half or so. So I'm glad that we finally got it started. And I wanted to start off, can we talk about the history of the restaurant? I know it wasn't at the location that you're at right now, but was it? It was started by William Moon.
Yes, sir. So Southside was started in 1882 by William Moon, really on the outskirts of Elgin, Texas. He slaughtered cattle and pigs and brought the meat, fresh meat, to town on the back of a horse-drawn buggy. Wow. And sold fresh meat door to door. And so basically, he was just a butcher shop on wheels, selling fresh meat. Again, he started that in 1882. The slaughter plant was about a mile outside of town.
Okay.
And so he would come to town every day. And then the sausage and the barbecue is just a derivative of him having fresh meat, no refrigeration. So he either sold it fresh or smoked it and sold it the next day.
And when he did that, was he offering fresh and smoked at a certain point?
Yeah.
Called Southside at the time, or what did he call it?
It was called Southside Market.
Oh, it was? Yep. Okay.
That was from 1882 to 1886, he did that. In 1886, he started his first brick and mortar old German butcher shop, basically in downtown Elgin, And it was actually on the side of South Street, which is now Central Street.
Okay.
But it was South Street, so the name Southside Market, that's where that came from. He started selling barbecue, again, due to just having fresh meat and no refrigeration. And so I don't think that Southside Market and barbecue was the name in the beginning. The barbecue was added later, but they always had that available.
And that's the concept for Central Texas style barbecue, mm-hmm. is that you, because there's no refrigeration and it was like a butcher shop style, is it the oldest barbecue joint in Texas?
It's the oldest barbecue joint in Texas that we know of. And I haven't had anybody dispute that. I don't think we're necessarily the first by any means, but this business has been around for the last 137 years.
Isn't that amazing? That's just, it's like, and I'm sure they would never believe that the landscape of Central Texas style or even Texas style barbecue is, that he would probably be so shocked to see it.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Even my grandfather, you know, three generations of my family have been here since 1968. And for my grandfather's whole life, our whole career here at Southside, it was a job, and it wasn't real glamorous or cool.
Uh-uh.
That's only happened here in the last 10 years or so.
There were guys from California calling up to interview him via the internet and try to find headphones and all that jazz. No, oh Lord. So when did your family take over?
So Southside was, again, started in 1882. My grandfather bought it in 1968. He was the sixth owner of the business. So from 1882 to 68, there was some other families involved. It had always passed hands and kind of stayed as a small town butcher shop, yeah. You know, down there in Elgin. He bought it in 68. He was a traveling meat salesman at the time, working for Armour, Swift & Company.
Oh, wow.
He was originally from south of San Antonio, based out of San Antonio. For a while after he came back from the Korean War, he moved to Austin in 66, and Southside was one of the accounts that he called on. And right about that time, late 60s, early 70s, inspection was coming down the pipeline for all these small processors, state inspection. And so the folks that owned it at that time, the Statch brothers, they were not liking the government coming in and telling them what they needed to do with their business, and there was going to need to be some upgrades with the facilities and what have you. And so my grandfather bought it at that point in time, and then it's been in our family since then.
Did they have all those the same sausage recipes? Do those all go back this far or further?
So for the first 125 years of our business, we only made really one sausage recipe. Mm-hmm. It was what we call the original Elgin hot sausage. Mm-hmm. Of course, back in the early days, prior to my grandfather buying the business, and even when he bought it, it was a little spicier.
Okay.
And when he bought the business, he told me, you know, if you saw two women a month in Southside, you were lucky and you sure didn't want to tangle with them. And so his vision was to make it more of a family-oriented place. Huh. And so one of the things he did to do that, other than taming down the crowd a little bit, was to take some of the heat out of the sausage. And so he toned down the sausage a little bit with the cayenne and put hot sauce on the tables. So those who wanted to make it the old style. And so that was the original, we call it the 1882 version of our sausage.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay, I've seen that a million times, but I've always wanted to ask. Okay.
And so he took some of the pepper out of the 1882 version, and that's the original version. The name stuck, the Elgin Hot Gut stuck, and... that's, you know, it's not really up to me to change that at this point in time. And so we call the second version the original version, and that just is what it is.
Now, can you explain to people that might not understand the term hot gut, what that means?
Sure. So what we're selling is hot guts around here is just a Texas barbecue sausage. It's a coarse ground sausage. It's 100% beef. We're using a natural pork casing on it, which is, that's what sausage casings started out being, you know. And then it's real simple spice recipe, mainly salt and pepper. And so the name hot guts comes from the natural pork casing, which, as you know, is pork intestines and hot off the pit, hot guts.
I love that. No, I love that. I've always loved that term, and I think, but I, and I've said it. There's some people that sell sausage, and they've called it hot gut out here, and I think people have it's been squeamish about that term because to them it sounds so strange, or they don't even understand why it's called that.
When I was growing up, I mean, everybody that came into the barbecue joint or into the butcher shop, they ordered hot guts. That's just what they ordered. They didn't say Elgin sausage, beef. What they wanted, hot guts. And so the whole time I was growing up, that's just what that product was called. And I guess probably in the 90s or 2000s, we kind of got away from that a little bit. It wasn't politically correct anymore, made people squeamish or whatever. But when we turned 125 years old, I thought, you know what? What the heck? We've been here for 125 years. We're going to call it hot guts, and that's what it is.
I love that. No, I love that. And the bank location that you're at right now, the former bank, when did you guys move into that location?
So my grandfather bought that in the late 80s. Okay. It went out of business in the savings and loan crisis in the mid 80s, and it was Security National Bank. So he bought the bank building, and he moved the business from downtown Elgin out to the highway. We opened up for business here in 1992. So we've been in this location for 25 years.
Wow. And I think there was another location that he was looking at, right, that he was going to do in downtown?
Well, his vision was, it was always a downtown business ever since he had it, and it'd been there for 100 years, you know, over 100 years at that point in time. And he just wanted to rebuild down there. The buildings were all, you know, 100 plus years old. And he had bought all the buildings on a city block with the exception of one. And what he wanted to do was just basically flatten them, rebuild. And he was squeezed from parking as well. He wanted to create some additional parking because the business was growing. Yeah. And that was his vision. Right as he was doing that, the city came in and created a historical district in that part of downtown. And I see. They would allow him to renovate and remodel from within, but not knock anything down, which was, you know, it was the right thing for them to do. That was good. It really ticked him off.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure he made him really mad.
Sure. And so when he moved out to the highway, you know, that was a big deal for the small town of Elgin, Texas. Yeah. This business moves out to the highway, takes all the people from downtown. And so that was a big deal, you know. From that point forward, the business grew exponentially.
Well, because it's right on that highway.
Goes back to location, location, location. And so that's number one. Number two, if he wouldn't have done that, there wouldn't have been enough for me to come home to. And so I would, if I was in the barbecue business, I'd have to be somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so it worked out for me as well.
And then as a child, your father worked there, right?
My dad started working at Southside when he was 12. When my grandfather bought it in 68, and then I started working at Southside when I was 12 as well.
But did you first see yourself working there at this age now, or because you went to Texas A&M, right?
Yeah, you know, people ask me, when did I decide to be part of the family business? And to be honest with you, I don't remember making that decision. I just grew up in small town business, family business, and pretty much our world revolved around the business. You know, it was centrally located in downtown Elgin. After school, wherever school I was at, I'd get my brother and sister, and we'd walk to the market and hang out at the market from 3 o'clock until it shut down at 6, and then we'd go home. And so we were just always there. And I just remember, you know, when I started working, that's where I needed to earn money, and that's what I did. I made the decision to go to Texas A&M to learn meat science. And so I took a 4-year break from Elgin. I still came back on the weekends and holidays to work in the business. But then I graduated from A&M in 98 and came back home, and they put an apron on me and hung around a little bit too long, I guess. Been here ever since.
What did that meat science background give you, and what did that entail? It's because it's pretty extensive over there, and I know that they have brisket camp and other things, and it's something that I see from afar from Los Angeles, going, oh man, that looks so amazing.
Yeah, well, you ought to come out sometime. I'm blessed and get to help them out at Camp Brisket and Barbecue Summer Camp, and working with the same professors that I learned under, you know, 20 some odd years ago, Dr. Sable, Dr. Griffin, Ray Riley, Dr. Keaton is a processed meats professor there, Dr. Osborne, all great folks. I didn't understand it at the time. I just went there to learn meat. Mm-hmm. Not only did we have the butcher shop and the barbecue joint, but we had a processing plant, or still do, where we make all of our sausage products and distribute them. And so my degree, basically I was trained to run a meat plant. Mm-hmm. And
oh, that's great.
Yeah, I tell everybody, growing up in a small town family business, you do what you do because that's what you're told to do. And you don't ask many questions. And if you do ask too many questions, you get told to sit down and do what I told you to do.
That's what I said.
And so I went to A&M to learn why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. And really, really good stuff. And I came home thinking, oh man, this is great. Have all this knowledge. Now we've got to put it into play. You know, there's better ways to do things. Then I learned family negotiations and politics and all that stuff. And so,
because it is a family business, and family businesses aren't always easy. And it's also something that is, because it's been there for, it's not like a 3-year-old business or 4-year-old business. There's a lot of things that have been in place for so long that to even probably tweak things a little bit, it takes a little bit of a negotiation probably.
No doubt. That's when I learned that sometimes it's much easier to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission.
That's true. That makes sense.
And so my grandfather was really open and honest with me in the beginning. He told me, you're either growing or you're dying. There's nothing in between. Mm-hmm. And so we want you to grow this business. We want you to come in and help us grow. But there's certain things that we do, and we do them the way we do them. And we're not going to change that. But we're willing to listen to ideas.
That's good.
And so that was good in theory. And I'd bring the ideas. I'll bring another idea. Well, no. And so, you know, once I learned that there's certain core aspects of our business that we're not going to mess with, we're going to cook with wood. You know, we're going to use the meat we use. We're going to use salt and pepper to season it with it. Once I started understanding that that's part of who we are. That's not what we do. That's who we are. And then there's things on the perimeter that you can tweak, mm-hmm. and you know, make more efficient. So we started working on those types of things.
What year did you guys get into the wholesale business? Because when I lived in Texas, I was astounded by seeing how much Texas sausage there is at a supermarket. Whereas here, there's zero. It just doesn't exist. Or maybe it might be a Texas style, but it's mm-hmm. it's not even close to what I had in Texas. How long has that wholesale business been around, or how long?
Well, when my grandfather bought the business, you know, we had a slaughter plant because all the meat that we sold in the business, we slaughtered ourselves. And so the big grocer around here is HEB. Mm-hmm. And back in the early days, my father, they would slaughter cattle and pigs, and they would actually sell sides of beef and pork to the individual HEB stores.
Oh, interesting.
They didn't have the big commissaries back then. And so they were selling swinging beef to each individual grocery store. And so while he was making the rounds with doing that, he wanted more weight on the truck. We make sausage. People like it. So he put that on the truck, and we started selling that to the grocery stores as well. And so that's kind of how that evolved to the point where now they've got their own meat commissaries. They don't buy swinging beef. They buy box beef. And so that part of our business, you know, it evolved away from us. Mm-hmm. But because we were in there with the sausage, then we just rolled with the punches and started distributing more sausage.
At what point were you shipping nationwide?
We created our first website in the early 2000s. And we started shipping, you know, right probably early to mid 2000s, where we would, you know, started out with phone orders, and then we built an online store, and we were, you know, onesie twosie, you know, using FedEx, UPS, whatever. The very first shipping customer I remember servicing, I would take boxes, 50 and 60 pound boxes of sausage to the bus station in downtown Elgin and put it on a Greyhound. And that's how we started shipping frozen sausage on a Greyhound.
Oh wow, that's so crazy. That's such the early days. Were you guys one of the very first that were shipping? I think there was a couple people that were shipping. It wasn't a big business at the time.
Wasn't a big business, and when that really first started coming out, we're inspected by the state of Texas. And then 2002, I took us to USDA inspection, which same inspection processes, but going USDA from Texas gave us the ability to ship outside the state lines.
Gotcha.
And so in the early days, we were being told that, hey, you have to have the inspection mark on every package that you're shipping. And so that's one of the reasons that I took us to USDA inspection so we could get across those state lines and with our online store. And that was back, I guess, in 2002, yeah.
So that's it. In my head, I'm like, that's not too far ago, but actually it's 2000, that's 17 years ago. That's, it just seems like yesterday was 2002. So that's the right amount of time. Let's, before, because I can go a million places with this because I'm so interested.
Sure.
Let's talk about the restaurant itself. So when people arrive and they come, what can I know there's a butcher shop. Let's talk about what they can expect to see when they come.
Sure. Well, when you show up at any Southside, we got two of them right now. We want to show people what we do. And so it's all about, wood fires, quality meat, simple dry rub, and time. And so when you walk into the store, hopefully you'll get a sense of all that, smell it, see it. In the Elgin store, you'll walk into big dining room, and then we've got kind of cafeteria line service with the butcher shop on the side. Mm-hmm. At the old store in downtown Elgin, you have to walk through the butcher shop to get to the barbecue joint in the back of the building.
Oh, interesting.
And so at our second store in Bastrop, you've got to walk by the butcher shop to get your barbecue. And so, back in the old days, we were mainly a butcher shop that sold barbecue on the side. That's, of course, evolved with, Walmart Supercenters and everything there. And so now we're the barbecue joint that still sells fresh meat on the side. But it's part of our name. It's part of who we are. And anywhere we go, we take a little butcher shop. Now, it looks a lot different. We used to, cut swinging beef, from the carcass. And now it's really dumbed down to the point where it's mainly the products that we make are sausage products. Everything that's barbecue on the menu, we sell it in the butcher shop as well. Raw, where you can cook it yourself, raw and seasoned, where you can just go throw it on the pit. And then we sell it fully cooked as well.
Now, can you buy it? Do you sell steaks and things like that? Is that even something that
we do?
You do?
We do. Yep. So we sell ribeyes, New York strips, and sirloins.
Okay. Because when I came in, I don't think I even noticed that portion. Oh, I was just loving everything else that I saw. Now, do you find a lot of customers come in and buy barbecue and they buy stuff from the butcher shop? Is that common?
It is. One thing that we don't compete with is convenience. And so, my wife, it's much more convenient for her to go to a grocery store. And so our butcher shop customers are largely barbecue customers that like what we have or appreciate the quality of the meats and are going to go home and do it themselves. And it's a special occasion, or they just care about it that much that they want top quality. And so our best meat market customer is a barbecue customer that wants to take some home as well.
Gotcha. And how many different sausages do you guys sell at any given time?
We've got, I think, about eight different ones on the shelf right now.
Can you by memory list those just so people, because it'll get people excited?
Sure. Now we've got the raw Elgin hot guts, just like we've made all, since 1882. That's the only uncooked sausage we sell. And then on the smoked sausages, we have the 1882 smoked. We have the original beef smoked sausage. Those are both all beef. On pork and beef, we've got a jalapeno cheese pork and beef smoked sausage, and a Polish sausage that's a pork and beef. And then on all pork, we have a pork and garlic, and we have a country style smoked sausage. It's all pork. Then we have two summer sausages that we sell, one jalapeno and one regular. They're pork and beef. And we're just coming out this spring with some dried sausage and some beef sticks. And both of those are all beef as well. We sell the jerky as well.
The dried sausage, would that be that it's dehydrated? Or how is that? Or is it just that it gets More smoke and more time?
More smoke, more heat, more time. And so, yeah, basically it dehydrates it, but we're doing that in the smokehouse, not in like an oven.
That's an interesting sausage. I had never had that before I had gone to Texas.
Yeah, it's kind of, if you're going fishing, you're going to put one of those in your tackle box and stick a cheese and you're set for the day.
Barbecue-wise, the gamut, you guys sell the gamut, right?
Yes, sir.
You have lamb, too?
We do.
Okay.
We sell lamb ribs. And so back in the early day, and really we have that on the menu kind of as a throwback to the old days. And, lamb used to be a staple around here. And it was called mutton. Mm-hmm. Mutton's the older animal, of course. But, people around here didn't care. They just wanted lamb, and we sold it as mutton. And I finally changed it on the menu board here a couple years ago because mutton just doesn't sound good anymore. More people wanting lamb, but our old time customers, they come in, they want mutton, and so we give them lamb ribs, and that all works.
Yeah, brisket, pork ribs.
Yeah, so we're using prime brisket, and then on the weekends we'll sell the three bone beef plate short ribs. So those are our main beef items. Pork, the normal pork spare ribs. We do sell a baby back pork rib as well, and then we make pork steaks. We take the Boston butt, cut it, and smoke those. That's kind of a throwback to the butcher shop days as well. And then we have chicken halves, turkey breast, the lamb ribs, and the one sausage that I didn't tell you about earlier was our sausage slammer, which is we take a pork sausage patty, we stuff it with fresh jalapeno, cut it in half, remove the seeds, stuff it with cheese, wrap it with sausage, wrap it with bacon, and smoke that. And that's been a pretty good seller for us here lately.
That's pretty new, right?
It's new. It's been around for about 4 years.
Yeah, it's new for you guys. And that's do you guys sell that too on your website?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What made you guys open up in Bastrop? Because it's just south of you guys, right?
It is. Yeah. It's about 15 miles south of Elgin. It's in the same county. I actually live in Bastrop, and I grew up in Elgin, of course, lived in Elgin my whole life, and then when I started working at Southside, I needed to move to Bastrop to make that whole family business thing work. And so we, from the time I was very young, I always remember people coming in and telling my dad and grandpa, hey, you need to open up another store, won't you open up another store? And they'd always say, yeah, we're gonna. And so my wife and I bought the business from my grandparents in 2010. And then it took us a couple years to figure out how to make that happen. And we opened the store in Bastrop for two reasons. We wanted to be on the outskirts of Austin. Elgin's on a major highway between Austin and Houston. Mm-hmm. Bastrop sits on a major highway between Austin and Houston. And so we wanted to block all the different travel paths they could take. Try to make it hard for them to get around us. So we wanted to grow. We were living in Bastrop at the time. It was on a highway from Austin to Houston. Just kind of made, it's in our backyard, home county. It just kind of was comfortable and made sense. And so that's what we did.
What year did it open?
November of 2014.
And then what's that location like? You said that it's a throwback to the original location, right?
It is. I really remember growing up in that old store, and so it's not built like an old downtown building, but it brings a lot of the elements in. In fact, my grandfather, 2 months before he passed away, he sold the old store downtown, and when they remodeled it, they took a lot of the glazed tile off the walls, and so I went and salvaged that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And put that in the new store. We've got some old tin from an old barn my grandpa had. We use that in the store. Anytime we take something out of the sausage plant, piece of equipment or sliding doors or something, we save that and use that at the store. Just to kind of, it means something to me. Our old time customers, it means something to them. Mm-hmm. And so it's that's what we're trying to do there, make it feel more like home.
And people that are into the history of barbecue like me and there's thousands of others would love to see that. That's really cool to see and check out and get a little slice of history because it's important. We lose a lot of that with all the with brand new buildings and locations.
Sure. That's a great point. I see that as a tremendous responsibility. This I say I bought the business, but this isn't my business. I'm just a steward of it for this point in time. And it's going to, if I don't screw it up, it'll live long past me. And I've got a card hanging on my desk right in front of me. And that one of our customers left us. It says, my grandfather ate here. My father ate here. We eat here. Our sons eat here. My granddaughter eats here.
Oh, my Lord.
That's five generations of that family. And so
that's so touching. That's so touching.
That's bigger than me or my family or my kids. So it's, you know, what we try to be very intentional with what we mess with around here. We want to grow and we want to improve. But, you know, this business, it means a lot to folks like that. And so it's my job to not screw it up, like I say.
I asked earlier about the fact that it was the, one of the oldest, it's the oldest still standing barbecue restaurant. But it's, if you think about it, business-wise, there's not a lot of businesses that are over 125 years old in the United States. Like, it's not, a lot of businesses don't make it that long.
Yes, sir.
You make
it
to a century, that's a lot.
You know, for me, when we were looking at, you know, I worked in this business for 12 years with my dad and my grandfather. And so not only the longevity of the business itself, but when you look at the statistics of a business passing down from generation to generation in the same family, you know, from first generation to second generation, the stats are like 23% of them survive. And down to the third generation, you're in single digits. And so it was, you know, very intentional of how that process worked and started working on it early to make sure that, you know, I didn't mess it up.
Do you hear your grandfather's voice sometimes in your head when you're doing things?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. There are certain things I think, golly, if he saw me doing this, he'd kick me right square in the butt. But there's other times I think, he might be a little grumpy, but he'd probably approve. Mm-hmm. It's one thing about my grandfather, you know, he told me early on, you're either growing or you're dying, nothing in between. And as I would make changes, I learned his language and that he was going to be grumpy about it regardless, pretty much. But as long as I had the numbers in my hip pocket of proving out what was happening, then he would get okay with it. And so,
is there a certain meal that he would love to have there? Like, is there something that if you were putting together a platter or plate that he would love, what would that be?
Sausage and beans.
Sausage and beans?
Yep. Sausage, just our hot gut sausage on butcher paper with, you know, he'd eat it with crackers and hot sauce. And then we serve like a South Texas pinto bean, which that's what he grew up on. And so that's all he needed right there.
The hot sauce and crackers, too, that's such a Texas thing. It really is.
Yes, sir.
That little, like, the way that's the salt with the, that's a great, would that be something he'd have for breakfast or like a little snack almost?
You know, all day long, about 10 a.m., starting about 10 a.m., and then any day, all day. On Friday nights, you know, especially during Lent, I grew up Catholic, you know, we just eat beans with no meat. That was just the Friday night meal, and so that's what he liked to do.
What's your favorite meal there? What would be like an ideal meal if you're going to have one or sit down with somebody?
You know, that's a good question. When I eat at my store, I eat the same meal every time. A piece of sausage about this long, two slices of brisket, and a pork rib. Those three items are 85% of our sales. And so if we're having a good day there, we're having a good day. And so I don't know if I do that because I like it the best or because I'm checking on the business, but
that's what it sounds like. It almost sounds like your quality control slash you really like it.
Yeah. I ate that for lunch today, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
And how was it?
It was good. I was proud of the guys. I had to go pat them on the back. They did a good job.
And how many employees do you guys have now?
Between all the stores and the plant, we've got 140 to 145 employees.
Wow.
Like everybody else, we're scrambling to find folks. You know, it's a really good economy right now, and it's tough to recruit and hire. But you know, saying that, we're blessed. We've got some really, really good folks. Our the guy that makes sausage for us, Mondo, he just passed. Tuesday was his 26th anniversary of being with us.
That's something right there.
We had another lady this week, past 17 years, and so we've got a good mix of long-standing loyal folks, and then as we've grown here recently, we've added new positions and new folks, and it's been a good mix.
What is Elgin like? And it's not Elgin. It's like, I think for the longest time before I went to Texas, I'm like, Elgin. Now I'm like, oh, when I got there, I'm like, oh, I feel so stupid. But what's Elgin like, and how far away is it so people can know from Austin, or even you said it's between, like, on the way to Houston, how far away from Houston?
Sure. So Elgin sits 20 miles east of Austin on Highway 290. And if you come in and say Elgin, that's a dead giveaway. You ain't from around here. So
yes,
we'll know that, yes, real sir. Quick. We love everybody, but just a dead giveaway.
Yes.
But Elgin's a small town. We've got about 10,000 people population. High school football, Friday nights, normal stuff, small town Texas. And we're about an hour and a half from Houston.
Okay.
And so we enjoy a lot of traffic on the highway between those two points.
And also, if you're in Austin, you can go visit Elgin, visit you guys, and then head north to Taylor, right?
That's exactly right. We're kind of at the intersection of Highway 290 and 95. And so if you go north on 95, you go to Wayne's Place in Taylor. Mm-hmm. And if you go south on 95, you get to our Bastrop store.
So you could do that and then go.
Yeah, and then from Bastrop, you can head on down to Lockhart.
Uh-huh, that's true.
And,
oh, that's a great
and one. Luling. And so it's kind of, that's the Central Texas Barbecue Trail right mm-hmm. there.
Right there, yeah. That's a little, if you're mapping it out, and it's important that, like, for a million reasons to stop by your place, but that would be a nice little, dot you want to stop on the way. And then, actually they can go to you guys first, so that way they don't, so they go first, so that way they can fill up with you guys and then digest some and then go to the next spot.
Yeah, no, it's a good little tour. We appreciate seeing folks come through and do that. And, I never say we're the only ones. I say, if you come, Central Texas, we're one of the stops that we'd appreciate you making. But along with that, you need to go to Wayne's Place, Louis Miller. You need to go to Kreitz. You got to go to Smitty's. There's places like that you got to go to as well. Mm-hmm. So
there's a lot of new spots, but those places you need to go to. They're important.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt. And, it's one thing that, with the kind of the evolution of barbecue or over the past 10 years is that, I've gotten real close with all those folks. And I say real close. We see each other at the Texas A&M, the barbecue summer camp or the Camp Brisket and these other events, which that's one of the blessings of this whole deal. As people put events together, it gets all the barbecue guys together. And I don't remember ever seeing my grandfather do that, or even my dad. And there's just been a really cool camaraderie built. And the new guys, the old guys, the new business, old business, it's just good people.
And you share something, a commonality that a lot of people in outside of that world don't share, and especially ones that have been, it's a business that's been passed down family to family, or family member to family member. I think that's something with Wayne for sure. That's something that you guys have that in common, without a doubt.
Yep, no doubt. We tell stories and laugh a little bit, and it's a little bit different being in a family business and
for sure
in the barbecue world, but It's all great.
And what are the hours?
We open at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. here in Elgin, 10 a.m. in Bastrop, and we close. Small towns, 8 p.m. on the 8 o'clock at night on the weekdays is about all we can handle around here. Mm-hmm. Stay open until 9 on Saturdays and Sundays.
Okay. And 7 days a week?
7 days a week, yeah. We close down 3 days. Easter Day, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day.
Gotcha.
And other than that, we're making barbecue.
If you're listening to this on the podcast at southsidemarket.com, you can order all of your food and merchandise.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the marketing office. You can see all the all the pictures.
Which, if you're listening to the podcast, that gives you reason to want to go to the YouTube version and actually see it. And I think that's why I like to do both the YouTube and a podcast version, so people can see the people. So someone who sees this can at least now they have an idea of what you're like, and from hearing from you and seeing you. And then when they see, they'll be able to recognize you at the restaurant and say hi and chat up barbecue with you.
Sure. Excellent. Good stuff.
thank you so much for taking the time. I've wanted to talk to you for so long, and I so appreciate you being, you know, forthcoming about your entire family history and everything. That's so great.
Hey, I appreciate your time. It's you know, this can turn into a job. Put your head down and get after it. And so it's not until times like this where I step back and think, hey, you know, this is kind of cool too. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I love it every day, but it can turn into a job. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, I come by it honest. I could BS all day long about barbecue.
Mm-hmm. That's, and I'd appreciate it. Maybe do a part two someday too.
There you go. You got it. Right,
take care, Brian. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.